Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. That's right. Right. The more perfect union. Amen. As many times as I've heard him sing that, it never gets old. And every time, it gets a standing ovation. So thank you, Parkview, for keeping the tradition going. Today, we want to look at a scripture as we reflect on the Word of God and try to get a blessing in our life today. If you could turn to the book of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans, yeah, this is my favorite chapter, I'd have to say. It's pretty packed, but we're just going to take a sliver of it because it's pretty thick, pretty dense. But Romans 8, and we're going to read verses 18 through 21. Romans 8, 18 through 21. And it reads as thus, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Verse 21, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Father God, we turn to you now with anticipation that your Spirit will move and we will understand the words you have for us. Lord, we ask that this message reveal your Spirit to us in a more deep way. That the message today will give us a more profound way of looking at the Scriptures. Lord, use us to be the healing agent in this world that you require. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Independence. Independence. Of course, that's what we were celebrating this week. We were doing it for our country. As an independent country, we fought to be free from British rule, right? They were taxing us too much. Taxation without representation. There we go. I'm not going to put you through class today, but that was an easy one. And so we got so upset about it that we took that old tea they were bringing into the harbor. We threw it all over the boats, right? Burned stuff up because we didn't want to have to deal with those tyrants any longer. And so we began this journey as the United States. We've had our ups and our downs, invited all those from other shores, bring your huddled masses. We've invited them in and allowed that to become what we know now today as America. Still independent, still free, and still struggling to become that perfect union that the forefathers wrote about. But I'm not going to spend too long on the country, on the macro aspect, but I want to look at us as individuals, because we, me and you, we are the ones that make up this country. Those who came before us that died in wars, they did it for us. Because they wanted us to remain independent. And so as us, as individuals, we think of that word of being independent. Yes, we don't have necessarily another country ruling over us, but what is it in our own lives that we struggle with that maybe we're not quite independent from? And so today I want to look at three ways as we challenge ourselves in asking, are we independent? That we have to understand that there is no cost to this independence. There's no fear in our independence. And finally, our independence is rooted and grows all out of love. If we look at the word independence very quickly, the definition of it is free from outside control, not depending on another's authority. I think we can all relate to that. Then it goes on, it says, not depending on another for livelihood or sustenance. Well, that gets a little more specific to ourselves. And then the third one is a little different. It says unconventional. Now that one kind of perked my attention because I didn't really think of it that way, being independent as being unconventional. But I guess in a way, to the individual, to be independent through the course of your life, as you try to find out who you are, you have to do some things that are unconventional. Because of everything that we surround ourselves with from growing up, as we mature, requires us to depend on things. We depend on our parents. We depend on a school system. We depend on the government. We depend on a job. There are things throughout life that we have to depend on. But as we question ourselves and we look at our own independence, we have to do some unconventional things to remain that way. Not saying dependence is a bad thing, but there are things that we become dependent upon that maybe keeps us from fulfilling what God has for us in our life. Oh, let me give maybe an example. See, we can depend on coffee in the morning to get us going in the day, right? It's not a bad thing. No one's going to beat us up about drinking coffee because we sometimes need it to get going. But if we depend on, let's say, an abusive relationship where we get used to being treated a certain way, people talking down to us, people not being nice, a negative attitude, that we get so comfortable in that we depend on it. Well, then we're not independent in the way that God wants us to grow and to become who He has designed us to be. See, we feel like a lot of times that we have to pay a price for things. That maybe, well, if it's not hard on me, it's not worthwhile. If it doesn't make me suffer somewhat, then I don't feel like I've really earned it. And so we become dependent on this kind of feeling. I've sometimes struggled myself with raising kids, feeling like I'm too hard on them because I don't want them to think the world is easy. I don't want them to think that things are just going to be handed to them. But that's a fine line because I also don't want them to get used to the world beating them up. Living in this kind of, I have to earn things all the time. Because there's one thing that we know we don't have to earn, we can't earn, and that's our salvation. See, Christ paid a cost with His life. And He did that so that we wouldn't have to run around here trying to be perfect. Because we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You're going to do something that you wish you hadn't done. You're going to have regrets in life again and again. But it doesn't stop us from our salvation. It doesn't stop us from the love that God has for us. Nothing can block us from that. So see, this price has already been paid. So we are free. We are independent from sin. The sin that gets in our minds and gets in our thoughts and tells us negative things about ourselves. Tells us that I can't do something. Tells us that I'm not good enough to do something. Tells us that when there's an opportunity there that we see to help somebody that, nah, I'm not going to get involved. It's not my place. We're free from that. Those are the things that hold us back. Those are the things that keep us in a bondage. And those are the things that come from fear. See, this thing, fear, is a tricky thing. It's subtle. Because we almost depend on it. Biologically, we have a chemical reaction, right? Danger happens. We get excited. And what happens? It's fear or flight. Right? We're going to attack something or we're going to run away from it because our fear kicks in. But we can't allow that fear to rule us. We can't allow that fear to get inside of our being, our ways of thinking. And it's a subtle thing. So we get to points in life where we have to make decisions. And those decisions may cause us to challenge ourselves, to do something that maybe we've never done. Put us in a situation that we've never stepped out into. So there's a little trepidation. There's a little, well, maybe I don't know about that. That's a fear. And sometimes that can be a good thing. I mean, hey, if it's your first frat party or sorority party and you're a little scared going to the club the first time, the little fear, staying out after midnight. There's a little fear. Well, that should be good. But then maybe there's that fear of a new position at work. A job opens up. And you're saying, I've never done that. That might be too big for me. That might require too much of me. But that's the kind of fear that God is saying, no, I've given you power. If I've opened the door, I'm saying step through. Because when I open those doors, I'm going to give you everything you need to walk it out. Even if you can't see it in the moment, even if you've never done it before and you don't have the playbook of how to make that thing happen, if I've opened that door for you, don't have any fear. So we have to be a little unconventional. Because sometimes people will tell you, nah, you shouldn't do that. Well, just wait on it. See what happens. We have a running joke in our house whenever we kind of make a decision and we're ready to do something and we'll kind of say, oh, well, maybe we should pray about it. Because that's what we always say, you know, pray about it, pray about it. But sometimes we can use that as an excuse. We can procrastinate on things. God has clearly laid something out. And how do you know? Because not only do you see it, but then someone else comes and says, hey, I really think you should do that. Or, hey, you know, I struggled with this too, and I overcame it. And we still sit there and say, well, let me pray about it. Not quite sure. But if it doesn't go away and it's still there, and maybe years go by, and the opportunity still is there for you to do it, and you're still not sure. Well, God is saying that's fear. That's straight fear. There's nothing else to it. My brother-in-law went in the military. He was an Army Ranger, decorated. And it was time for him to get out and decided what he wanted to do. And he wasn't sure, you know, guy had been military his whole life and wasn't sure what to go into next. Well, I don't think he prayed about it, but he reflected on what he had seen in his time. And he dealt with a lot of burn victims. Guys in his troop that he led had suffered a lot of things, burns through bombs, and it stuck with him. And so he decided when he got out that he would go into medicine, that he wanted to be a surgeon and work on men who had grafts, that needed grafting, severely burned. Now, he had never even thought of being a doctor. And he understood that at his age, he was 30-something, that it was going to take another 10 years almost for him to finally be able to really do what he's thinking about doing. That's a long time. But he decided to do it. The fear didn't get in his way. And he went through it. 4 years undergrad, 4 years master's, 2 years residency. And God moved in such a way he became the lead surgeon at the Birmingham Hospital in Alabama. If we overcome our fears and we step out and we do the things that we know God has placed there in our lives, we see the needs, we meet the needs, and don't allow whatever life has told us before to stop us from stepping out. Watch how God will move. Watch the things that he'll do and he'll change. We don't have to make excuses. We don't have to question whether it's him or not. If we see that there's a need to be met and we step out, God will do the rest. But we have to lean on something. You're saying, well, what is it I'm going to do? Maybe I am dependent on these things. Well, that's why the one thing that we know we can be dependent upon is God's love, because it never fails. Other things we think in our lives about what we depend on, maybe they're going to let us down at some point. At some point, those things that we relied on, they let us down. My 14-year-old came to me the other day, and, you know, she's in school, and school's finally wrapped up, and she didn't get the grade that she wanted, and she was upset about it. And we're talking through it, and she's blaming the teacher. You know, she was losing my homework, and she didn't do this, and she didn't do that. And I couldn't work in that environment. All these excuses. And I listened, as a good dad does. And when she was finished, I said, well, you have to realize something. And no matter what situation you go in, people are going to disappoint you. You're going to have an expectation, and they're not going to meet your expectation all the time. Shocking, I know. But that doesn't excuse the fact that you have to get done the mission you know you were put in there to achieve. You have to figure it out. And that's the situation that we're in life. We have expectations of the situation. And there are things that we depend upon to help us to get through the situation. But what happens when those things let us down? We have to rely on God's love. We have to go within. Our strength, it comes from the Lord, and only from that place. When everything else has let you down, when everything else that you wanted to rely on, that you wanted to lean on, that maybe in the moment made you feel better, but you knew was not going to last, the one thing that's always there, that will always be there inside of you, is God's love for you. That God believed in you so much that he was willing to die for you, knowing that if he died, if he willingly gave his body over to this world, let them beat him and hang him and pierce him in his side, bury him in the grave, that he knew once he rose from the dead, that in making that sacrifice and paying that cost, that today you and I could be independent from any of the dependencies this world requires of us. That's our salvation. That's how we overcome every situation in our life. We say, Lord, inside, let your love rule in my life. I need your strength right now. I'm not able to do this. All the little things I'm trying to work out and help me to get me over is just not quite getting me where I know I need to be. Why not? Are you not quite there? You feel like you're living a good life, but you're not quite at that place. We need to lean on his love. Think about the things that we're using that we depend on. And become independent in our dependency on Christ. As the band comes forward, I want to challenge each and every one of us today. There are things that we wanted in life that maybe didn't quite manifest the way we wanted them to. There are things we're looking at right now in our life that we want to take on. We're not quite sure if we can do it. Things, weaknesses that we feel inside of us. Shortcomings we know we have. Now is our opportunity to not be dependent on anything but the one thing that's eternal, that's never failing. It's a fountain of strength for us, the spirit that we have on the inside. We've been so blessed to be in this country. So blessed to have the opportunity to do whatever it is we want. But do we lean on the true blessing? The blessing of our salvation. If there is a one, if you don't know that the Lord is your Savior today, I invite you to accept Jesus Christ in your life and watch how he can give you independence over the things that are holding you back. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to plant roots in this station of Zion and allow him to grow your seed to bear good fruit in your life. If there's a one,